Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. President Biden is in Cambodia meeting with regional leaders at the annual summit meeting of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, where he said the U.S. is serious about its commitment to the region.
It's testament to the importance the United States places in a relationship with ASEAN and our commitment to ASEAN centrality. ASEAN is the heart of my administration's Indo-Pacific strategy.
While in Cambodia, Biden is also to participate in the East Asia Summit tomorrow before leaving for the G20 Summit in Bali, where he is scheduled to meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping. The meeting will be Biden's first face-to-face with Xi as president, and it comes amid growing tensions between China and Taiwan and North Korea's increase in missile launches. Control of the Senate is focusing this weekend on two states after the contest in Arizona was called last night for Democratic Senator Mark Kelly. Republicans need to win the remaining contests in Nevada and Georgia to claim control. Democrats now need to win just one of them. Arizona election officials are pushing back against claims from Republicans that the election is exposing, quote, deep flaws in the Maricopa County's election administration. NPR's Ximena Bastillo has more.
On Friday, the Republican National Committee and Republican Party of Arizona threatened legal action against Maricopa County to, quote, protect voters' right to have their ballot counted. Election officials for days have been responding to criticism, arguing it should take days to count the ballots.
I am going to stand up for my state. Maybe not everyone here is, but I am. We're doing things the right way. And I appreciate that you're all here, but we're not doing anything wrong at all. And that someone from here would suggest that we are doing something wrong, that's frustrating.
In a follow-up statement, officials said since 2006, it's taken an average of 12 days to finish counting. Ximena Bustillo, NPR News, Phoenix.
Overseas, Ukrainian forces as well as relief supplies are flowing in to the southern city of Kherson. NPR's Jason Bobian reports Ukrainian soldiers retook the city on Friday in another major blow to Russia's war effort.
After a triumphant welcome by Kherson residents, Ukrainian soldiers have been reestablishing control over the city. Kyiv's troops have been clearing mines, inspecting abandoned weapons, and searching for Russian soldiers who failed to get out during the main retreat across the Dnipro River. Local officials warn that some of the Russian troops that had been occupying the city for the last 8.5 months changed into civilian clothes as the city switched hands. Before fleeing, Moscow's forces destroyed the city's main electricity plant, meaning that Kherson will be facing many of the same power problems as the rest of the country. The loss of Kherson comes on the heels of other military defeats for Russia in the east of Ukraine. Jason Bobian, NPR News, Dnipro.
This is NPR News. The UN climate talks in Egypt near the halfway point. The goal of limiting warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius is becoming an issue. U.S. climate envoy John Kerry is acknowledging that some countries are seeking to retreat from the goal reached in Paris in 2015. The Paris Agreement was seen as a breakthrough, and Kerry says most countries have no intention of going backwards. Two new Omicron subvariants have become dominant in the United States. NPR's Rob Stein reports on estimates released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
According to the CDC's estimates, the Omicron subvariants known as BQ1 and BQ1.1 have now replaced BA5 as the most common viruses spreading in the U.S. Scientists have been keeping a close watch on the new subvariants because they are among the most adept yet at evading immunity people have from previous infections and vaccinations. That means they could help fuel yet another winter surge as the weather gets colder and people start gathering and traveling for the holidays. The good news is the new subvariants don't seem to make people any sicker than the previous strains. Rob Stein, NPR News.
Australian officials are seeking to reassure the public after a cruise ship docked in Sydney with hundreds of passengers infected with COVID-19. The ship's operator, Carnival Australia, says some 800 passengers out of 4,600 passengers and crew on board have tested positive. The company says COVID-positive passengers are isolating on board and being cared for by medical staff. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.